Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community, and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
My love.
Yeah.
Good evening. Oh,
good
Australia
evening.
And good evening, my love.
Good evening, Brett.
How are you?
I'm good.
Yes?
Yes, yes, yes. We've got a lovely guest tonight. Very excited.
Yes, but before we go into our guest,
yes.
What's Chatterbox about again?
So if you haven't tuned in, we are a talk show where we bring in a member of the GLBTI community and they get to talk about themselves for an hour. They get to choose four songs that best tell their story or just four songs that they like.
Yes.
Or just four songs that I had on my iPad, whichever it is actually.
Well, she's picked some beauties tonight, and ladies and gentlemen.
We just get to have a bit of a yarn, a bit of fun, and a bit of banter.
Absolutely. And who have we got on the show tonight?
Well,
love?
Can I say, we have got Melbourne Institution.
Yes.
Conio.
Yes.
Consuela.
Miss Congeniality. She nailed that this week. I
Baklava.
Loved it. Baklava, yes.
Con Maragallis.
Who's going to be joining us in a short while, isn't he?
Well, she will. She's choppering in, quite frankly, from her new luxe pad in Paran.
Yes. Now, my love.
Yes.
You always choose a cracking track, and I have to say,
this is a good one, isn't it?
This, I tell you what, this blew my skirt up this week. Jenny from the bloody block, she knows her bloody disco, doesn't she?
Hello, Jennifer Lopez. You're listening to Chatterbox on Joy 94.9.
We do it well on Chatterbox.
You're listening to Chatterbox with Brett and Andrew on Joy 94.9. Guess who didn't think Miss Jennifer Lopez was going to finish quite so suddenly?
Well, normally, hang on a minute. Because normally, Jenny from the block, she goes round the block a couple of times. And I played the radio edit, the Moto Blanco, not El Cabello Blanco, but the Moto Blanco remix of Jenny. I love that song, Andy.
No, it's fabulous. It's great. So I'm sure everybody jumped out of their sleeping bags and is tottered around their lounge room. But it did finish a little bit suddenly.
It did. My love.
Yes.
Who is on the show tonight?
Look, as I said before, we went to Jennifer Lopez. Our guest tonight is literally a 90s Melbourne institution. It is Con Maragallis, Miss Baklava. Welcome.
Yay!
To
Chatterbox. Hi, everyone.
How are you, my love?
Oh, smashing.
Now, darling, we were trying to figure out, we went for a, well, let's say a shandy before the show. We were trying to figure out how we met, and I think it was, I was hovering around the ground floor of a well-known Melbourne department store in the city.
You were the spritzer girl.
I was. And where were you?
I was measuring third legs on the fourth floor. Trying to nudge Miss Candy out of my area.
That's right, because Miss Candy actually used to work in menswear at the same time as you, didn't she?
Yes, yes. Long, long time ago. Very fun times.
That would have been in, what, 91, 92?
Surely not that long ago.
I think it was, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, 1990. Yes. Yes.
Different times, different world.
They really were. They really were. Maya had two stores and multiple floors.
Oh, yes.
Now, darling, you just celebrated a very special birthday. We're not going to say what birthday it was.
It was a milestone.
It was a milestone birthday. Mm-hmm. But tell us a little bit how it went, because unfortunately we weren't here for it.
It was fabulous and quite low-key.
Yeah.
We did have a little...
How many people were at your low-key birthday?
About 55.
I know, and apologies. We were in Perth at the time. Apologies, my love.
We had some interstate guests.
Yes.
Which was quite lovely.
Yeah.
And lots of drinks. But I must admit, we became infamous for drinking the pub dry.
Yes. It was one of those birthdays. It was a big birthday.
It was a big birthday.
Can
yes.
I say, we do get to a certain point in our lives. I'm not going to say age, but I'm going to say point in our lives where we've been known to drink venues dry.
True.
I remember a dear friend of ours who celebrated their 30th or their 40th, and they were trying to encourage him to just not have an open bar, to like to have a set
yes.
drinks thing. So went for the set drinks thing. It's like, we will pay this much. And they closed down about 4 weeks after his birthday.
No, look, it was a wonderful venue and lots of old and new friends.
Yes. Great. Mm. Good night had by all.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Now, darling, tell us a little bit about, because are you originally Melbourne born and bred?
I'm a Melbourne born and bred boy.
So tell us a little bit about early life. Where did you grow up?
Grew up in the inner city. So we grew up off Commercial Road.
Yeah.
And back in those days was a very Greek migrant area.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So none of us had actual backyards.
Yeah.
So everything was on the street.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that was a lot of fun. And it's quite unusual. I mean, I've been gone for a while now, but it's quite unusual to see it today
yeah.
to what it was back then.
Yeah.
So I remember the Moores department store, which is Pran Central.
Oh yes. Wow.
So it actually was a department store back
was
then.
Was it really?
Yeah. So I vaguely remember it.
Because you've just moved back to Melbourne from Sydney after
yes.
how long?
15 years.
And you've moved into a street that was not too far away from where you grew up.
Exactly, yes.
So is that strange now because...
Yes, it's just so different now, obviously. And there's a distinct lack of children
yep.
around.
Yeah.
There's a tiny bit of an entitlement persona,
yeah,
which is quite unusual, which it wasn't back then. But look, lots of fun, great area.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Lots of really good times. We lived there as well in the 90s.
Yeah.
We were quite well known in the community.
Yes,
for
you
having
were.
Some fabulous parties.
You were a little bit.
So we had to leave town.
Start again. Start again. They don't know us in this next city.
Because you've just moved back, and we'll yes. get back to your growing yep. up yep. early life in Melbourne a mm-hmm. little bit later. But what prompted your move back? Because you were in Sydney for 15 years.
Yeah.
What prompted the move back to Melbourne?
Look, it was... I spent a lot of time here anyway, so I kind of had the privilege of being able to kind of almost live in two cities.
Yeah.
But there came a time due to family and other commitments where yeah. it was just time to move back.
Yeah.
And look, love Sydney to bits mm. and have some great times, but really understand Sydney for what it is,
mm.
Just as we understand Melbourne for what it is. Two amazing cities that are fantastic alternatives for people to experience
yeah.
the two. So that's what brought us back. And there are quite different lifestyles.
So what do you think fundamentally, because I've never lived in Sydney, I've visited mm-hmm. obviously, and I've got mm-hmm. there for work, but I've never lived in Sydney. Mm-hmm. What do you fundamentally find the big differences between living in Sydney and living in Melbourne? Because as you said, they've both got completely different things to offer. Mm-hmm. So what do you think the differences are between the two cities?
Look, I think Sydney's a lot more tribal.
Yeah. What do you mean by that?
Well, everything about Sydney, the North Shore versus the South.
Yeah.
Then you've got, obviously, the Shire. Then you have the West. Then you have the Inner West. They're all quite tribal. So where you live is where you play.
Yeah.
So we actually lived in East Redfern.
Yeah.
But and Leichhardt obviously had the Italian community and all the great restaurants. But it was, what, a 10, 15-minute drive?
Yeah.
But we never went there.
Yeah.
Because everything was about where you lived.
Yeah.
So I think that element is what really stuck in our minds.
Yeah.
I think the scene too was a lot more open and mixed.
Yeah.
So you'd have your twinks and you'd have your 60-year-old madams.
Yeah.
All in the same venue.
Yeah.
So you didn't really have that segregated. You went to certain venues and only one type went.
Yeah.
So I quite enjoyed that.
Yeah.
That was a lot of fun. Whereas Melbourne has a totally different side. And Melbourne is I think, with friendships that we have here and with people that we've grown up. And remember, I'm biased because I am a Melbourne boy.
Yeah, of course.
The Melbourne friendships are quite solid, but it's also you have certain venues and certain lifestyles.
Yeah.
So they're segregated too, but in a totally different way.
Well, I think they've become less and less in Melbourne, particularly recently. I think back to the 90s when you and I met,
mm-hmm.
and Commercial Road pretty much was
the strip.
There was the Peel, obviously, that was going on over North Side, but mm-hmm. Commercial Road really was going off. You lived off Commercial Road, I lived off Commercial Road, and that's pretty much where it happened, because there were gay bars, gay clubs, gay restaurants, gay bookshops, gay everything.
Yeah.
And you didn't really need to venture too far outside of Commercial Road, other than for you and I to just fit into the city and go to work.
Yes.
But socially, you didn't venture too far outside your community. Whereas now I think it's a little bit different. People it's do tend dispersed. To sort of suburb hop.
Yeah. And look, I think it's interesting too when you really look at the clubs and bars and you look at the scene, if you want to use that term.
Yeah.
Things were obviously very different when we were growing up. A lot of gay bars are closing, even in Sydney. A lot of the famous bars are actually closing. I think a younger gay person really doesn't want to exclusively associate necessarily with a gay exclusive bar.
Yeah.
It's very different. They've got a lot of friends. They don't want to go necessarily to one type of place. And you can see that in Sydney too. It's happening very much.
Yeah,
absolutely. Hey, you're listening to Chatterbox tonight with Brett and Andy and our very special guest, Con, only on Joy 94.9.
Whatever your tastes, you'll find it weeknights on Joy 94.9. Something for everybody.
Oh, all right.
She never stops that one. You're listening to Chatterbox tonight and with Brett and Andy and our very special guest, Con, only on Joy 94.9. That she needs... I'm going to have a talk to her after the show.
I'm going to find who she is, quite frankly. I'm going to pull her hair. Now, Connie, big part of Chatterbox is our guests come in and they choose four songs. The first song is your sort of growing up early life. And you were saying earlier that you grew up in Paran. You've spent a big chunk of your life in Paran and you've just recently moved back to Paran.
Mm-hmm.
So tell us about your first track that you chose and why you chose it.
Well, I was one of those special aborigenerational babies.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
So everything was about camp songs, camp tunes, camp melodies. So I picked a song that resonated well with our community.
Yes.
Yep.
Back then, yesterday and today.
Yep.
So it's Winner Takes It All.
Yep.
But I thought, you know what, let's add a toe-tapping element to
Can
this.
I say, we've all heard Agnetha come out of that divorce badly, quite frankly, for the last 30-something years.
She's got her island. She should just shut up now. Look, she's got her island.
If she hadn't worn that red jumpsuit, things could have worked out quite differently, quite frankly.
Just the jump, not the big T-shirt with the cash?
No.
Oh, Lord.
So, look, we've all heard this tune. And
yes.
We've been humming and singing and reminiscing to it for 30 years.
Yep.
So it's like time to give it an up.
So this is a slightly different version.
Yes.
Who is this?
This is Cachetta.
Yes, and who's she?
She's a very buxom woman.
Oh. Is it a woman?
A buxom woman who is quite well known in New York
yes.
For her drag performances.
Yeah.
So she does lots of magic tricks on stage.
Yes.
So anyone wants to get a little glimpse of her, she's lots of YouTube clips. Oh. But like all good female impersonators,
yes,
they always pull out a disc, don't they, love?
Pull out a what?
A disc. They pull out something on vinyl.
I was going to say, if it's not something on vinyl, it's something, they've thrown a disc out the back.
I saw Lucy like Loosebox pull something out on the bar at Diva one night, and it wasn't a disc or vinyl.
So I do love this track. It's got a...
Do you mean that did she ruin the female illusionist that she was?
Let's just say she had a pop out.
No. Oh my God.
Drag emergency.
In a $9 sports girl dress with nowhere to hide.
Oh, God love you, Lucy. God love you. So, Con, would you love to introduce this next
This
track?
Is Cachetta with a much-loved rendition of Winner Takes It All.
You're listening to Chatterbox with Brett and Andrew and our very special guest, the gorgeous Connie, on Joy 94.9.
We've gone through, though it's hurting me. Now it's history. I've played all my cards, and that's what you've done too. Nothing more to say, no more ace to play. The winner takes it all.
You're listening to Chatterbox with Brett and Andrew and our special guest going on Joy 94.9. My God, we've got a lot of songs that have a really hard, definite ending tonight.
I know, it just ends. My goodness. Now, my love.
Yeah, we've had a couple of messages come through.
Yes.
We've had one that is from Sarah from Seddon saying, yes, love Connie's first choice.
Yes.
Thank you, Sarah from Seddon.
Oh, bless
you, Sarah.
It mixed it up a little bit from the boring old ABBA and their multi-million dollar record sales. And we've had another one from Glenn from Altona saying, I remember 90s Commercial Road so well. That was some of my fondest memories. Oh, that's lovely, Glenn. How the hell did you end up in Altona?
Because she remembers Commercial Road from the 90s. More than likely. My goodness.
Now, Connie.
Mm-hmm.
You grew up, as we said, in Commercial Road.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Good Greek boy.
Mm-hmm.
But this is usually the part of the show where we get our guests to talk about their coming out story. So tell us a little bit about yours. How was coming out for you?
There's a few, but I'll pick the earliest one.
Good-o.
All good little Greek boys used to get thrown into a Greek national costume.
Yep.
Now, pleated skirts and all.
Yep.
And off
it's
we went.
It's a bitch to iron those pleats in as well.
Off we went to some photographic studio in Chapel Street, South Yarra, which I think now is Supre or Dotty. But anyway.
Forever new.
Forever new. So off we went. And, of course, we had the obligatory photos in the Greek national costume.
Oh, bless.
And I could never understand why all those photos, because we obviously my family used the same studio, all had the Sydney Harbour Bridge in the background.
And you were in Melbourne.
Why was that?
Don't know. I just don't know. I think the person who painted the backdrop just really only knew how to paint the bridge.
And you know, in those days as well, they used to be on like a huge roller.
Yeah.
So you could do Sydney Harbour Bridge, the Outback.
No, this was fixed, love.
Oh, this was fixed.
Hanging Gardens of Babylon.
Oh, my God.
So pom-poms on the slippers.
Yes.
Oh, Lord, bless heaven.
The whole thing. Fabulous. Yeah. And
are those guards? You know that there's guards outside of the old
Syndagama, which is Parliament House.
Yes.
Yes.
But are those guards specifically called anything? Or they're just...
Yes, they are, but it escapes me.
Okay, right. Because
your
Greek's very good, love. It's very good.
So,
Gardo.
Gardo.
Well, I mean, the term back then, it was called cholia.
Chola.
Okay.
Yeah.
Not Chola.
No, not Chola.
That means something else completely totally different. Yes.
Oh, how do you know about that one?
Oh, look, we all... Drag race. Drag race.
So you toss it down to get your photo taken in front of the face of the Opera House Bridge.
Mum, after the photo shoot, Mum did have a really difficult time stopping me from twirling and getting me to take the outfit off.
Were you like Nancy Kerrigan? Nancy Kerriganis.
Yes. So I suppose that's really my first memory. The other thing, and we'll get serious now.
Yes.
The other memory I have is, you know, when you're a teenager, you go through that really confusing stage and it's just easier to do what everybody else is doing.
Of course.
Have girlfriends and things like that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, slowly it all started kind of panning out.
Right.
Panning. And then I remember being at uni, and there was we started to meet openly gay friends or students, and occasionally they would talk about the various clubs and things like that. And I do remember taking note one day.
Taking a note?
Yes, on my Holly Hobby notebook.
I expected her to say she was taking shorthand.
and writing down a club called the Key Club.
The Key Club.
In Gertrude Street, I think it was.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I do remember going in incognito.
Yes.
Yes, at that time.
And how did it feel that first time going into a gay club?
I was shivering like a chihuahua.
Yeah.
I was very nervous, but I was also quite intrigued. And then everything kind of just all panned out and things like that. So coming out wasn't really... You know, it wasn't a da-da moment.
It
was a very gradual thing. But I think one of the things that I've always believed in is I never pretended I was something I wasn't.
Yeah.
Yes.
But at the same time, there was never a da-da moment.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And over time, and just through honest friendships with friends and who would ask, and then I'd be quite honest with them.
Yeah.
It just sort of happened.
Yeah.
I think it's interesting because I think for some people it is a da-da moment, but for other people it really is just about, hang on a sec, that doesn't quite seem like me. And then it does take a period of time to figure out what that is. Mm-hmm. So, and this is why I think everybody's coming out story is slightly different.
You also had the complexity of... being part of a wonderful family and a very loving family who had very traditional views. And, you know, my mother and father, even to this very day, really don't speak much English at all.
Yeah, yeah.
So they had a very traditional upbringing in themselves. But even through that pressure, and I must admit, when I hear other Greek, Australian, gay coming out stories, they can be quite horrendous. And there could be alienation from the family and things like that. I never had that. But again, it was such a gradual thing that there was general acceptance around.
Which is crazy because the Greeks invented it, basically, didn't they? They invented everything else.
Yes, we did.
Are you listening to Chatterbox tonight with Brett and Andy and our very special guest, Con, only on Joy 94.9.
Bringing a little joy to your life. Joy 94.9.
that's another one that doesn't know when to shut up.
I'm just trying new ideas tonight, my love.
You're listening to Chatterbox with Brett and Andrew and our special guest, the gorgeous Connie O on Joy 94.9.
Oh, look, we're radio professionals. Now, darling, just a couple of old pros here tonight.
Before we went to that blabby old queen that was doing the announcement, didn't know when her time was up. Before we went to the break, we were talking about your coming out story. Mm-hmm. And obviously, as you said, you grew up as part of a traditional Greek family.
Mm-hmm.
And even though it wasn't you said it was quite a gradual process for you. Mm-hmm. What do you think sometimes, because you did say that sometimes you hear some horrendous stories of kids coming out, not just Greek, but Italian or Jewish or what do you sometimes think the obstacle is there with traditional families?
Look, it's really difficult. And I think you have to look back at, you know, and please don't take this the wrong way. It is no excuse for non-acceptance or anything like that.
Oh, totally.
But at the same time, I think you have to really look back.
Yeah.
And you have to look back at the environment they grew up with, the customs and traditions that they had to abide by.
Yeah.
You know, again, it's not an excuse, but there are generally culturally different families, let's use that term, do have a lot behind them. And the issue of coming out or the issue of being different that really does not fit their mold is a difficult thing. One thing, though, I do personally believe, and this is my own personal belief, generally when there's love and true family bonds, with time, they can generally transcend that cultural shock, if you want to call that.
Yeah.
Be it one or the other of the parents kind of accepting it. And they really do come down to a middle ground.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, there are things that they obviously prefer you not to do.
Yeah.
In their presence.
Yeah.
And there are things that they're totally willing to accept as well. And, you know, my family is truly wonderful. I have a brother who I adore, and his partner, who I adore as well. They have all been really embracing of myself as Con, not gay Con or anything else, but as Con.
Yeah.
So
I think it's really interesting, though, and it's a point that seems to come up time after time. If you do need to allow the people around you time to adjust.
Of course.
Sometimes it does take time for you to come to that conclusion yourself. Mm-hmm. And I think sometimes we forget that because it's taken us a period of time to actually come to that conclusion, once we're comfortable in telling people, we just expect them to get it straight away.
Exactly.
And it really isn't the case. It's just about giving other people time to get their heads around it as well. So sometimes if people aren't necessarily throwing their arms wide open, it's not because they're not going to accept you. It's just because they maybe sometimes need a little bit of time and maybe just need a little bit of education around it as
Look, my wonderful partner and I have been together a long time. And what I was going to mention before with my brother and my sister-in-law and my family, they totally accept and love him as my partner. And that is the highest form of acceptance that we can ever achieve. And you know, things like Christmas presents and, you know, we get his and his Christmas presents everything involves himself. Yeah. So, but also I must add, and another thing I think that we have to be very careful with, we are talking about a different time.
And we are talking about a different generation. Absolutely. Yeah.
Today it's very different. For young people coming out today is different.
Yeah.
They don't have as much pressure.
For maybe someone who's used to, who have lived in Australia, or first or second generation or et cetera. Mm-hmm. But there are still challenges with certain new communities in Australia.
Of course.
Who maybe in their previous country haven't been through. And this is the thing This is the thing with the Western world. We expect everyone to be at our speed now. But we've gone through three or four generations of social change, major social change. And then we expect, well, why aren't other countries doing it?
That's a really good point. And I think you're spot on. When we talk about today's generation and we're talking about the young people, they're not necessarily always grew up.
Yeah, absolutely.
In Australia and had third or fourth generation migrant parents or anything like that. So really good point. I think the most important thing is, and this is what helped me and is very relevant to the people we're talking about now, is support groups through friendships.
Totally.
Community radio stations like Joy play a very important role. And also not really alienating these people and being quite open and inclusive of people that we might think as, you know, they're in the closet or the this or they're that or having an expectation. I think communities do play a big role. Certainly helped me.
Absolutely.
Certainly helped me.
Yeah. Con, I was going to say your next track, my love.
Ooh, what's the next one?
So we've got... This is based on the original Barry White song, based on love theme.
Love, love, love.
Yes.
Now, I had never, ever heard this song before.
Really?
No. So when it came through, I was a bit like, what? Who the? What the hell? Where the hell?
Did you tell YouTube it, love?
Yeah, well, I had to.
Yeah, we had to.
So tell us a little bit about what it is, or firstly, what it is, who it is, and why you chose it.
Okay. So, again, growing up, I went through a stage where the music scene started to have, you know, from the New Romantic era, and then you sort of go into the Boy Georges and the culture clubs and the Marilyns.
Yeah.
You know, here we all are as a family watching Countdown and there's Marilyn belting out a tune.
Yes.
So OMD.
She could
OMD.
True. She could hum at best.
Exactly. Have you seen him lately?
Oh, yeah. No, don't. It's so sad.
Do you know, he lives on his mother's couch and lives on a diet of Mars bars. It's quite
in a council flat.
Yeah.
She should have kept the bloody money.
Bless.
Yeah. She lost all the money.
Anyway.
But anyway,
we digress. So, yes. Loved OMD and that whole era of electronic music and things like that. So, and particularly love this song because of the Barry White element.
Of course.
So I hope you enjoy it.
So without further ado, Connie's second track of the night is Dream of Me, which was inspired by Love's Theme by Orchestral Maneuvers in the Dark, or as we like to call them in the 80s, OMD. You're listening to Chatterbox with Brett and Andrew and our special guest, the gorgeous Con, on Joy 94.9.
On air and online at joy.org.au.
You're listening to Chatterbox with Brett and Andrew and our special guest, the gorgeous Con, on Joy 94.9.
Absolutely. Now.
Yes.
We cannot go any further.
Oops.
There was one thing that we haven't... we have to discuss it. I saw the video years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Baklava.
Miss LeVar. Yes.
Tell us a little bit about Miss LeVar and how she came to be.
Well, to be honest, one of your other regular hosts of a program here had a very big birthday party.
Yes.
Would that be Macca?
Yes.
Yes. From Saturday Morning, what's the show called?
Saturday Morning Drive. Saturday Morning Magazine.
Fabulous. Saturday Magazine.
Saturday Magazine.
So I kind of lost a little bit of a bet. At a dinner party, and it was like, love, you can put on a show for my 40th, and I said, okay, but I want backup dancers, I want sets, I want choreography.
Nana Muscuri's in the house, Miss Diva.
Yep, I asked for it all, and I did get it,
you
and
really
it was
did.
One of the funniest things I've ever done. So I had hair and makeup by yours truly.
Well, I did put a little bit of a Patsy wig together for you. It was
love, it was more Sylvia Fine. From the nanny.
It was about, 2 foot high, wasn't it? The higher the hair, the closer the god. Morty! And eyebrows that were about 5 inches above where your natural eyebrows are. You looked fabulous.
Let's say, for your moment on the stage, which was spectacular, someone did try to upstage you as the iceberg.
Well, yes. So it was we picked another toe tapper.
Yes.
A popular toe tapper of the time, which was the disco version of My Heart Will Go On.
Yes, that's right. Celine Dion. We played it a couple of weeks ago on our Oscar show.
Excellent. So and then we had sort of a little boat done that was
very camp.
Well, the name of the boat was Titanus. Four lifeboats behind me, rowing boats, little muscle boys, bless
champagne
them.
Comedy here.
And I had a hoot. It was so much fun. And this damn DVD just keeps getting dragged out at every get-together.
Yeah, and we'll probably drag it out soon as well.
Yes.
Hey, a message has popped through.
Ooh, yes. Mm-hmm.
What's the message?
It says, great show, boys. I love the Greek theme with Con. I feel like a souvlaki now. Love, Maria. Kiss, kiss, kiss. Oh, thanks, Maria.
Oh, bless. See you at Oakley, love.
Yeah.
After the show.
Now, Con, your next track...
Mm-hmm.
Brilliant band, Duran Duran. But this isn't one of their big 80s numbers, is it? This is from the 90s.
Yes. So this was a little bit of a comeback song.
Yeah.
Really, to be honest, what attracted me to this particular song was that fabulous bow on the wedding dress. It was heaven. So, again, go onto YouTube and have a look.
I think Nick Rhodes directed this video, and I think it was based on his own wedding where he had, like, 15 flamingos. He was wearing a pink taffeta suit.
That's right, he was too. Yeah.
It was fabulous. But anyway, I do love it. It's a gorgeous song, and it's classic Duran Duran, but with a lovely melody. So I hope you enjoy it.
So you're listening to Chatterbox with Brett and Andrew on Joy 94.9, and this is our special guest Con's third track of the night, which is Ordinary World by Duran Duran. Chatterbox with Brett and Andrew and our special guest, the gorgeous Con, on Joy 94.9. Now, Connie, that was your third track for the night, which was the lovely Duran Duran with Ordinary World.
Mm-hmm. Now, coming up, boys, is one of Andy's favourite segments of the night. This is when we ask you those embarrassing questions in out of the box. Yeah. Take it away, my love.
Okay.
Now, Connie, love,
mm-hmm.
we've all got them, but what's, when you look back, what's that outfit that you think, what in the name of God was I thinking?
There's a few.
So which is the one really, that really jumps out? Which is the one that really jumps out to you?
Look, yeah, there's quite a lot.
You showed us one earlier, actually, and you looked fine. You had a black T-shirt on and white, quite tight white shorts.
Oh, that was one of the early years of going up to Mardi Gras.
That was fine. It was the people around you.
Let's talk about their fashion, because your fashion, I mean, granted, there was, you had your lollies out, but they looked good. They looked good, love.
Mm.
So
mine was more big fun.
Yes.
Yeah.
I got that.
Yeah.
Now, on the left-hand side of this picture, there is someone with what could only be described as Liza's shirt.
Well, it was sort of like the Ruby Slippers had a baby with a Top Gun jacket. It was a red sequined puffer jacket.
That was the adorable Zazor.
And I think F was in that photo with F. you on the right-hand side.
Yeah, but F was all Milli Vanilli / Nefertiti.
And that's a hard look to pull off.
Very hard look. But it was quite a lot of fun. And in those days, we really went... we really took a lot of effort into what we were wearing.
There actually was something about dance parties in those days.
In those days, yeah.
You would just pull out all the stops and you would dress up, because nightclubs weren't open until 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock.
Of course, yeah.
There would be maybe 3 or 4 times a year where you would dress up to the nines and stay up till the sun came up.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And then, of course, we all ditched the outfits and then just came the 501s with the white T-shirts.
Yeah.
And we'd throw them off halfway through the night, so...
Yeah.
Nothing like a foam party to throw a T-shirt off.
True.
Next question, my love.
Darling, what's the most terrible song in your music collection? It could be vinyl, it could be single, it could be could be CD, or it could be modern MP3.
Well, it's really every year.
You were very proud of saying modern MP3.
I really was, and just the fact that I said modern MP3 made me sound like Jessica Tandy.
Where do I play my old 78s?
No. Look, I think my partner Mauricio would say it's every year I pull out the Eurovision.
Oh.
The Eurovision compilations.
Here, here. And just, well done,
play them to death. But I think the worst one would have to be Agadoo.
Yes. Now, we've had this. Yeah, you are the third person to say Agadoo is the worst song. Mm. So I think we're getting some consistency, aren't we, my
love? I think
love?
It may technically be the worst song ever written.
Is it, do you think that's what binds you to your guests?
Maybe. It could be Black Lace.
It could just be Black Lace. Now, hey, we've had another message just pop through.
Yes.
And it's the fabulous Daryl of St Kilda East.
Hello,
and he
Daryl.
Says, guys, thank you. Funny show with clever humour. I've had to pull over to the side of the road to text you. I'm on the way home from the office, and you're a great way to end the day. Oh, Daryl, lovely.
Oh, Daryl's fabulous.
P.S. I'd like to see the show with the hot guys going down to, on the Titus.
Titanus.
Titanus. Titanus.
Now, Daryl, firstly, a couple of things. Thank you for pulling over, because responsible texting is something we do
well
applaud
done, Daryl.
Here at Joy 94.9. Mm-hmm. And secondly, what the hell are you doing driving home at 5 to 11 on a Wednesday night? Night. That's a very difficult job that you've got. You're working too hard.
She's a busy lady, busy lady. Hey, you're listening to Chatterbox tonight with Brett and Andy and our very special guest, Con, only on Joy 94.9.
Joy. You're listening to Chatterbox with Brett and Andrew and our very special guest, the gorgeous Con on Joy 94.9. Now, it is the pointy end of the competition,
it
as
is.
They like to say on Australian Idol.
The pointy end?
It's nearly over.
Yeah, okay. Con, you've been a fabulous guest tonight. Thank you for taking us down memory lane, or should I say down commercial road lane tonight.
Yeah.
We've been Sydney, back. We've talked a little bit about Greece and coming out.
Yeah, we've had Acropolis, we've had Little Island Magic too.
And to play us out tonight, darling, what's your final song?
Well, I'm thinking of something contemporary. It isn't that contemporary. But the theme
something
is
modern, something now.
Yes.
Something modern, from 1972.
There is so much.
This was at the top of charts in 72.
Yes. Well, there's so much going on now with marriage equality and with supposedly certain parties allowing conscious votes and things like that.
Absolutely.
So, I've picked a toe tapper called Band of Gold.
Yes.
And lots of big high leg kicks.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Classic disco. Any final words for tonight, kids?
Just thank you, Connie, so much for coming on. This is a gorgeous way to play the show out with the lovely Frida Payne singing Band of Gold, which is one of my karaoke favourites.
Is it really?
Look, thanks to everyone for listening, and we will see you, hear you next week on Chatterbox.
Absolutely.
Thanks, boys. Had a hoot.
Good night, Australia.
Bye-bye.
Joy.
You can find more Joycasts and show blogs. Go to joy.org.au.
This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. Go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with joy.